Morning, the Senate E-12 Education Budget Division will come to order. May the record indicate we have a quorum. We have three bills on our agenda. We'll take them in reverse order, and it's our intent to be done by 10:30. We have first Senate File 3064, Senator Stump. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. This session has been kind of a topsy-turvy session. We kind of have done things somewhat differently, and I just want to take a minute or two and go back as I was reflecting last night on what we're trying to do. Last fall, in October, when the November forecast came out, we had discussions of the finance chairs had discussions of the $1.2 billion deficit that we were facing at that time. And we were all talking about how do we solve that deficit and what portion of it would end up being part of education's responsibility and how are we going to address it. As we moved closer to session and as the February forecast came out, we were fortunate enough to have some of that $1.2 billion deficit erased, so it was just slightly under $1 billion. And the leadership, both House and Senate, and the finance chairs met, and we decided on an approach that was kind of like a three-tier approach. That first run at balancing the budget would consist of all of the state agencies, including the tax committee, and so that was accomplished. Many of the divisions, and I know quite a number of you sit on different divisions, met and tried to put together a budget that would reduce the spending of those agencies. And the outcome was that about $319 million was cut from those state agencies. And the second phase was going to be the responsibility of Health and Human Services. And that was had a little bit of a sidetrack with the GAMC and the whole issue of what the federal government might be sending to the state. And to some degree, that's in flux even a little bit yet, although the governor's budget to the legislature and the House budget have included the FMAP money as part of that solution. It comes to about $408 million. And the Senate also is, I think, going to, although we haven't seen the Health and Human Service budget yet, but I believe the I think the discussion is that the Health and Human Service budget would include part of that as part of that solution. So that left education, and that's where we are here today. Our target, which we received just relatively close timeline in the last few days, was $14.215 million. And so we have moved from November or October and November, where we were talking about $500 million in reductions to that we might have to shoulder in K-12, to the little over $14 million. So what we have before us today is a package of three different bills. All of them are my bills that are going to be used for delete all amendments. And some of them will have to go to the tax committee, or one, see, I think one or two, I'm not sure, will have to go to the tax committee. One won't have to. And so we'd like to process those. And this morning when I got up, I have this calendar. It's a calendar I got for Christmas that has each month has some nice view pictures of vineyards around the world. And I was looking at it, and I noticed that there's not that many days of session left. And so we have to move forward and get things done. A little bit of a side note is that next Tuesday, we've been working with the governor and the department and the House to try to assemble the policy package, which includes the Race to the Top initiative and other policy things that that we need to pass. So next Tuesday we will be taking that up. So members, I'd like to ask if Mr. Chairman, if we would start with Senate File 3064. Excuse me, 3064, which is as the chair mentioned, is kind of the third one on that agenda list.
And Senator Stumpf, we have distributed the A1 amendment, which has the fund transfers. And if you'd like to offer that as part of the package, and then
Mr. Chair and members, I would. I'd offer the A1 amendment to.
Senator Stumpf offers author's amendment, the A1. All in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Prevails.
And members, part of the to get the kind of the full picture, you'll have to kind of look at a number of these different pieces. But this one deals strictly with fund transfers. And as you notice, there's a number of them. We have Anoka, Hennepin, Elk River, Hayfield, Kenyon, Wanamingo, Medelia, Rochester, and St. Louis Park. And I might have Mr. Nauman, we took a little bit of a different tact on some of them, but I if you remember, Rochester, I believe, had a two-piece kind of a proposal, one where they wanted to sell some land. There's kind of a little bit of a story behind each one. We looked at putting these together in a little bit different fashion. And so if Mr. Nauman could maybe.
Thank you, Senator Sump. And Mr. Nauman and everyone does have a copy of the budget supplement spreadsheet where Mr. Nauman will make reference to the levy implications.
So, Mr. Chairman and members, as Senator Stump mentioned, excuse me, most of these fund transfers had been heard in some form. I'll make note of Elk River, which came across as a Senator Phoebe bill originally. Members will recall the originally drafted the explosive growth revenue bill. And that bill would have generated several million dollars for the one specific district. Given the budget circumstance, it was a little rich for the committee's target. So it was we did a little investigation, determined they had dollars available to transfer. So that one was turned into a fund transfer. I believe that we did not hear the Kenyon-Wanamingo. Am I correct about that? That one is new. It was a late introduction. and that one, they didn't have a lot of dollars in their debt redemption fund available for transfer, but they did have $55,000. So that one was listed at that number. Members will recall the Senator Latz brought a bill in to allow the St. Louis Park School District to sell a building and then and or have some additional dollars for the purposes of closing down a building, and they wanted to use operating capital for that purpose. Rather than breaking new ground on that, we thought that we got to the same point by investigating how many dollars they thought they needed. It sounded like about $225, and then doing a fund transfer from their operating capital money into their general fund, and then the fund transfer carries language that the dollars should be used specifically for the closure of that school. It seemed a little cleaner than creating new ground on that. And so, members, I will also highlight for you, and we'll probably come back to this on a couple of occasions, the spreadsheet. Some of these levies as transfers from the debt redemption fund to the general fund will carry the traditional levy impact. And you'll note that five of these do. Lines 41 through 45 on the second page shows the levy effects of the collection of bills. And you can see under the column titled E12 FY 2012, there are those lines that show the levy effect of these fund transfers. And members, I'll also note for future information that this spreadsheet contains the effects of all three bills that we're considering today, all of which have some form of fiscal effect. And to make it easier for you, we've added a column that shows Senate file numbers so that you can cross-reference. So for example, under those lines 41 through 45, you'll see it says 3064. So and it assumes the adoption of these amendments that are before the committee today. Obviously, if that doesn't happen, we need to update the fiscal note, or the spreadsheet, rather. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm
Thank you, Mr. Nauman. And again, in summary of the seven fund transfers, five would have levy impact, two operating capital, those being St. Louis Park and Hayfield. Are there questions by the committee before we take action? Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe a question for Mr. Nauman, just so that the committee is clear on what we're doing here. Mr. Nauman, could you some of these are transfers from the debt redemption fund. Others are from the operating capital account. And could you just review for the committee what those funds are and why we need to do this, why the school boards can't just do it on their own?
Mr. Nauman.
So, Mr. Chairman and members, when I think the easiest way to talk about this is first the debt redemption fund. That these are dollars that when voters approve property tax increases and take out bonds to purchase, let's say, a building, for example, the school district is then required to levy between 105 and 106% of the debt service payments on an annual basis. That extra increment, that 5 to 6%, it tends to be closer to 5, has a habit of building up over time. And school districts will often come to, and it needs to be reserved in the debt redemption fund, mostly so the bondholders, as we've talked about on the charter bill earlier, have some assurance that the funds are there to pay off the debt service of the bonds. So we have law that says that it needs to be reserved in that fund and used for that purpose. But because it builds up over time, school districts have become accustomed to coming to the committee from time to time and making a case that they have a unique circumstance that justifies transferring those dollars. And that's essentially why we get these bills. The other issue becomes that when the bonds are paid off under law, it's Chapter 475, that excess would credit back to the taxpayers as a future savings. So in light of that, which is not the case with the operating capital fund transfers. So as a result of that, because we are foregoing a future savings, this is considered a tax increase, which is why we track it as a levy on our tracking. Senator Hand, does that answer your question?
Yes. I just wanted to clarify and make sure that we understand that the reason we're doing this is that these are funds that were raised to build buildings or provide capital improvements of some kind, and that the law requires that at some point when the project is completed that those funds be returned to taxpayers. And by doing this, what we're saying is we would prefer to have the money be transferred to the general fund of the school district to be used for other purposes rather than, and that's why we have to do it rather than the school board. I just want to make sure that we're clear that that's what we're doing.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, did I get that point for you?
Thank you. Any further questions? Senator Bonhoff.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, the way that that statement was said. I just want to point something for the record, because I think some people could listen to that and think, oh, we are repurposing taxpayer dollars in less than completely transparent and responsible way. So I know, for example, with regard to the St. Louis Park issue, St. Louis Park, because of their financial situation, had to close schools. Closing schools is something that is painful, tears a community apart, but was necessary to be fiscally responsible. In order for them to accomplish that, they didn't even have the funds available to close the school. And so rather than give all of the money back to the taxpayers, it was more prudent to transfer a small amount of that to allow them to make the fiscally responsible decision. And so in that case, I think we're, in fact, aiding the taxpayers so that ultimately that district can be stronger. I believe, Senator Hand, you probably would share that view, but just want to make sure it was on the record.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address this on Senate File 3064 as amended? Not. Senator Stumpf moves that Senate File 3064 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to finance. Further discussion? Not. All in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Senate File 3063, Senator Stumpf.
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 3063, there is a A2 amendment.
That is being distributed. This is an author's amendment. We'll formally have it moved once it's in front of everyone.
And I might comment, as that amendment is distributed, both Senate File 3063 and Senate File 3028 are the two amendments or two bills that will make the reductions to achieve our target that we've been given. So as in one of the 3063 will have to go to the tax committee.
Okay. Senator Stumpf, the A2 has been distributed. We will discuss further, but as an author's amendment, you have that option of having it offered. All in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Prevails. Senator Stumpf. We now have the A2 amendment before us.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. The A2 amendment is one of the parts where we make a reduction. And the reduction, as you can see in Section 25 of the amendment, is to the Alternative Facilities Revenue Program. And I think I would ask Mr. Nauman to kind of walk us through that. As you can see on the spreadsheet, right at the very top on page one, the reduction comes to $11.2 million.
Okay, we're going to refer to the spreadsheet again, and again, the focus of the cuts would focus on alternative facilities bonding. The earlier reference to YZETA, that has an effective date of 2013. But Mr. Nauman, if you could comment.
So Mr. Chair and members, I think the easiest way to do this may be to actually go through the language, and then I'll show the I'll talk through the spreadsheet, because there's some interactions between both aids and levies on this. Section 1, members will recall that Senator Bonhoff had a bill to allow the YZETA School District to participate in the alternative facilities aid and bonding and levy program. So that position is carried as Section 1 in the bill. Section 2 makes adjustments to the alternative facilities bonding aid program or aid line. This for certain districts, this is both bonding or aid and levy, and there is a reduction to the appropriation for in that program to account for the changes that are occurring in Section 3. So I'll take a couple of moments to talk about Section 3. Under current law, and I think this goes back to probably the 1998 timeframe, the tax committee to adjust for changes that were occurring at that time for in certain school districts permitted certain school districts that participate in the alternative facilities aid program or bonding program to receive aid to offset some of their levies. And the districts that we're talking about is Minneapolis and Okehennepin, Bloomington, Robbinsdale, Rochester, St. Paul, and Duluth. Some of those school districts do this program as a pay-as-you-go basis. So the amount that they receive in aid and levy is for projects that are occurring in a given year. Other school districts, and those include Minneapolis, St. Paul, Duluth, and Bloomington, are districts that have chosen to take out bonds and then use the proceeds of the aid to pay the ongoing debt service for those projects. So what has happened is that there's a list of districts that are in the program, but there are a subset of those districts that actually are receiving aid. And what this Section 3 does is take those districts that are receiving aid and that are bonding districts and zero out the aid for 1 year. So logically, you would assume, well, that means that they don't have the revenue to support that. Instead, the language will also give authority for them to levy in fiscal 12 and recognize that revenue as recognize that levy as revenue in fiscal 11. So the aid goes away in 11 for those districts. They do an extra levy. It's about $15 million in three districts. And then they recognize that revenue or that levy as revenue to backfill for the loss of the aid. So it's a transfer of aid revenue to a levy and a recognition language. So that's what Section 3 does. So members, if you turn to then the spreadsheet, there's a couple of lines that I'd want to make reference to. Section line 3 is the alternative facilities aid bonding districts only. And members will note that in the FY11 line, it goes down by $11.2 million. And this is a shifted program, so you'll see that there's also a lagging payment under the governor's unallotment of 4.142 under the 7327 calculation. That's the aid portion. Then if you flip to the next page, you'll see the levy change. And it's buried there's actually two decisions going on, and I'll make reference to Section 1 of this bill in a second. But line 40 shows the alternative facilities bonding. And what's happening in fiscal 12 is that there's an increase of about $15.3 million. That's the levy piece that is occurring in 12. And it's really fiscal 11 revenue, but because of the time frame in which levies are certified and the truth in taxation process, it's really 2 years before we can put revenues into districts after a levy occurs. So that's why there's also language in Section 3 to allow an early recognition. This is a one-time reduction to hit the target. It's also worthwhile to mention the interactions that are occurring in Section 1 of this amendment. That's the Wayzata. And what's happening right now is the Wayzata School District is levying $3.2 million in a combination of health and safety and deferred maintenance. The district testified, and they gave us backup information to show that they would structure bonds in an exact same amount. So it's a transfer, elimination of health and safety and deferred maintenance, and that's the reductions that you see on line 38 and 39. And then also built into line 40 is the increase of $3.2 million, so that 18.5 is the combination of the levy for the alt bonding for the three districts that are affected and the Wayzata increase, but the Wayzata increase is offset by the reductions in the previous two lines.
Thank you,
there's
Mr.
a lot
Noman.
Going on, Mr. Chair. If there are questions, I'm happy to address.
Questions of Mr. Noman or Senator Stumpf?
Senator Anderson.
Well, Mr. Chair, Mr. Noman, I'm not sure if I followed everything you said in terms of, you said a $15 million levy to three cities to compensate for the aid cut. And then how does that relate to the $18.5 million?
Ms. Nauman.
Does that include the YZ?
Mr. Chair and Senator Anderson, yeah, I may have sort of clumsily walked through that. The levy piece for essentially the districts that are cities of the first class, so that's Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Duluth, they lose aid on an entitlement basis of about 15.3. That gets turned into levy in fiscal year 2012 in that amount. How does that relate to the 18? The 18 shows the sum of that 15.3 and the 3.2 YZETA effect.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chair, Senator Sif, I just have to ask why, you know, normally when we balance our budget and we do major cuts, we don't put them all in three cities. And so why would we try to find, why would we put a over $15 million property tax hit only on the residents of three cities in the whole state of Minnesota to balance the budget? That just seems just grossly unfair to me.
Senator Stone.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Anderson, I think the goal that I was trying to achieve was to be sure that we were not going to make cuts into the classroom. And when I look back and into the history of this program, it seemed like those cities of the first class back in the 90s had some additional aid put into that program. And so I thought this was one area that we could make a temporary reduction in that aid. So the rationale is, is, I think the basic rationale is so that we could keep our classrooms whole.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Senator Anderson, followed by Senator Michelle.
Senator Stumpf, I guess what I need to know is whether this will keep our classrooms whole in those three cities. And, when you have an aid hit of $15 million that's unexpected on top of, in St. Paul, deficit of $20 million or so for this year, what impact will that have? I don't know if it can all be replaced with levy. I don't know that. And, taxpayers are already going to be replacing a lot of aid or a lot of those cuts with levy, and I just don't know if it's doable. And so I think we need to find out if it will have an impact on the classrooms, because it might in three cities, and that would be really not something we should be supporting.
Right. Mr. Chairman, Senator Anderson, I think hopefully we'll, have an opportunity to hear from some of the people from Minneapolis and St. Paul. And Duluth. And I think the idea was to try to hold them neutral in terms of their actual revenue, but realizing that obviously does increase the property taxes.
Thank you. Senator Michelle, and we will ask anyone that would like to address the amendment to come forward very shortly. Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For Mr. Nauman, so we've talked about Minneapolis and St. Paul and Duluth, and I thought earlier you had mentioned Bloomington. Does the Bloomington School District fall into this in some way?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Michelle, they do not. What I had mentioned was that there were four districts that are doing bonding, and under the language of the amendment, it only affects Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Duluth, and I can show that language to you if you're interested. But
thank you. Senator Anderson.
Well, Mr. Chair, just one other comment, or I don't know if it's a comment or a question, but if we think that the best way to resolve this budget target is to spread out some property tax increases that will not affect the classroom, that might be the best strategy, Senator Stumpf. But I just think it's not the best strategy to only have the taxpayers in three cities have to carry that burden of increased property taxes. And I think we should be looking for some other fair way of spreading that tax burden, because a $15 million property tax impact spread around the state wouldn't be as devastating. It would be devastating on three cities.
Senator Hahn, and then we'll ask anyone in the audience that would like to address this. Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I guess to the point that Senator Anderson is raising, and Mr. Nauman, maybe you can comment, if the target that we're being asked to solve here is $15 million roughly,
14.2,
sorry. And we just reduced the general levy or the general fund by $15 million statewide. What would be the effect on a per-pupil basis? And, I mean, I'm asking you to do a calculation on the fly, but wouldn't that be a relatively negligible change in the funding formula to take $15 million or $14.2
million? Mr.
Nauman. So, Mr. Chairman, Senator Hanna, I want to make sure I understand your question. Is it are you suggesting a question of how much would it cost to raise $15 million of levy and then back out the state aid?
Essentially?
Well, the rule of thumb is that we have a little, assuming you did it on units, we have about almost a million units, a little less. So it's a little less than $1 million for every dollar. So I think the way I would think about it is it'd probably be about $13-14 million of levy increase that you would and spread. If the alternative question is that you want to increase that amount, it would be about the same calculation.
So, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Nauman, then what you're saying is that if we were going to take that savings out of the general fund, that it would be, what, $13?
Oh, yeah, $13, $14, yes. I apologize. I reversed the calculation. Okay.
Senator Bonoff, and then I'll ask if anyone would like to testify, if they could please join Senator Stumpf at the table. Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Nauman, which other districts, how do the other districts get their alternative facilities? Is other districts get it with aid? How does that work?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Bonoff, are you speaking about the districts that are not receiving aid, that are in the program? Those districts levy for it.
So are there any other districts that get state aid for their alternative facilities?
Well, as I mentioned, we have a list of, looks like about six districts total, Minneapolis, Anoka, Hennepin, Bloomington, Robbinsdale, Rochester, St. Paul, and Duluth. Those are the districts that receive aid in some form, either as pay-as-you-go or to support bonding. And some of them receive both. Duluth is doing both a bond program and a pay-as-you-go program. The other districts will do levy to support their programs.
So most districts in the state are right now using property taxes for their alternative facilities.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Bonoff, I want to be clear. This is a program that's available to the biggest of school districts. It's right. Not most school districts that are in the program even. So we're first subsetting all the school districts to those that are in the program, and then we have a subset of those that are in the program that are receiving aid.
Thank you.
15 districts. Okay. And Senator Roebling, and then we'll go to testifiers.
Thank you. And I'm going to go off of Senator Bonoff's remarks in that obviously most of the districts currently are paying for this with property taxes. And I'd kind of like to know the history of how it ever happened that these bigger districts started to get the aid. Is there a need so much greater for alternative facilities, or why? Why did this ever start, or could it have been who was in charge at the time? And, you know, somebody came in and requested it, and they got it. And so, I'd like to know how it was justified back then.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Senator Anderson, do you have the legislative history on, is it 98?
I don't, Mr. Chair. Let me just add to the question. I was going to ask the same question, but perhaps add another part to it, which is that generally when we pass our bills, there probably were things that were also reduced for those cities at the same time, I'm guessing, and that there may have been a broader context for this. So I think it's important not to assume that they were received an advantage without receiving any disadvantage.
Okay.
But I don't know the history, so I think we need
will
to ask.
Get some history, I'm sure, soon from Ms. Gilbert and others. But to add, Senator Saltzman.
Right. And just to add to the question as well, because I did serve on the St. Paul School District Long Range Facility Planning Authority back in the early 90s. And it's my understanding, too, that these districts do not have to go to voters to get approval for new buildings. So just to confirm that in other communities, as we've heard with the Charter School Working Group, school districts have had to go before voters to get approval for their facilities. So there's been also the ability for these school districts to bond, is my understanding, without voter approval.
In the big picture, about 25 districts or so have this authority out of the 340 based on the size, the aging of facilities. Most would like to, but they make their case and we can't afford to do it for all. Of those 25, about six, I believe, have the levy, and that's what we're addressing,
eight.
Particularly, or eight. But then the few that we've identified here, there's been a request for some further legislative history, and I think we'll hear some now. So with that, we'll ask Ms. Gilbert, followed by others that have approached to comment on the amendment and perhaps respond to any of the comments that have been made at the table. Ms. Gilbert,
Mr.
please
Chairman
state your name
and members
record.
Of the committee, I'm Mary Gilbert from the St. Paul Public Schools, and this didn't even take place in the K-12 committee. It was not a provision that the school districts asked for. What happened is there was a significant property tax reform proposal that passed in the tax committee, and in the negotiations in the conference committee, when they did the class rate compression, which reduced rates for both businesses and homeowners, and that's when they eliminated the third tier.
Ms. Gilbert, is it 1997 we're talking,
you know,
or 98?
My memory's not as good as yours, but it was Paul Ogren was the tax chair at the time, and
okay.
Or no, it might have been Representative Abrams, actually. I can't even remember. No.
Around that.
It was anyway.
Yes.
Because of the class rate compression, when they took a look at what happened in the overall tax bill, when they captured a lot of the property tax from Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Duluth, there was a huge increase for homeowners in those three cities. And so to make the class rate compression work, the tax committee actually had to reduce some of the levies that we were already making. We were treated just like every other district when this when this program was first initiated, and it was a result of the tax committee's work that they actually had to do some levy reduction, or there would have been a disproportionate hit to homeowners in St. Paul, Minneapolis, and Duluth. So it wasn't some kind of secret deal or anything. I can't take credit for that, that we got some kind of special treatment as a result of this program. So that's the legislative history about it. And so it's what made the tax bill work that year, so that homeowners and some corporate taxes were reduced across the state.
Yeah.
So that's the history.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members, Jim Grathwald, representing Minneapolis Public Schools. Just to amplify a bit on that, I think this is in 92 or 93, but it's when we were working in the tax committee to reduce property taxes on our business community. The class rate compression in the business property taxes, commercial industrial property taxes, when that was enacted, it created shifts to other to homestead property. This instrument was used to buffer or take care of those cities where there was more commercial industrial property, greater class rate compression, larger shift to homeowners, and I believe they also tweaked the integration aid levy mix at the same time. These were two instruments used to put a deal together on class rate compression for the business community and then mitigate impacts on homeowners. I think I've just repeated what Ms. Gilbert has said with a slightly more detail.
Mr. Chair, for clarification purposes, Mr. Grathwald mentioned the 92-93 timeframe. That's when the alternative facilities program was created, was in that time frame. The program did not originally have aid, as has been testified numerous times. It was about 97 or 98. Dr. Melcher says he thinks it's 97, but neither of us are certain, but we will certainly check and get back to you. That's when the aid was created.
Thank you. Mr. Solberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm not that, except for the year differences.
Please state your full name for the record.
Understanding as well that this was just an issue of tax fairness, that trying to make an equal impact on the tax reforms that were being done to all school districts. In answer to Senator Anderson's question in terms of does this have an impact on the general fund, it doesn't directly, but our school district, like most school districts throughout the state, are going to have to look at the taxpayer and try to increase what we have now as a minimal operating referendum. in order to try to mitigate some of the cuts that were not this year but next year and the year after that we're going to have to make, and having an increase in our property tax just at the time when we're going to be asking for additional funding, of course, I think could have an impact on the classroom.
Senator Olson has a question.
Mr. Chairman, will this necessarily affect any bond payments that you have to make as a result of your projects, or does it? Are you able to? Would you be able to deal with this in terms of just delaying some project work, which is what's people have been districts have been doing all over?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Olson. We already have debt service obligations that we've used this money to pay. We will have to make the levy to do the existing payment. There is an early recognition provision, which means that because we've already, scheduled the bonds and have the payment, and and the aid was already counted for this coming year. So we will have to do an early recognition of our levy, which will increase our levy, but it also will create a bit of a cash flow problem. I mean, it's not, compared to the big cash flow problem we have as a result of the levy recognition shift and what the state has taken, but we would be able to, the bill does allow us to levy to make the payments, and we are obligated to make the payments for our bonds. There's no way that we cannot do this.
No, I know that.
Thank you to the testifiers. Senator Torres-Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to go back to the question about the tax reduction for business and commercial buildings, because it seems to me that this was used, as you stated, Ms. Gilbert, as a buffer. So we protected the communities, protected the schools, and we are undoing that. So it seems to me that we need to correct this in taxes in order to be able to continue to protect schools and protect these communities. So, Senator Stumpf, I wonder if this is something clearly we have significant problems in the schools right now. We are closing how many schools in Minneapolis this year?
Mr. Chair, Senator Torres-Ray, this year we're not closing any. We've had over 20 schools closed in the last five years. Mm-hmm.
So this is a huge issue for us, Mr. Chairman. And so, Senator Stumpf, I wonder if this is something that you would be willing to review in the Finance Committee in terms of how we are undoing something that we did 13 years ago, it seems, in terms of taxing. And it seems that we're paying the consequences and we are punishing three districts that really need this money right now.
Senator Stumpf, he'll certainly speak to the bill on its journey.
Yeah, there's the next bill is a reduction in grants or grant programs. I think just a comment that even $14 million sometimes is hard to come up with, and trying to, especially when you're trying to stay away from the general formula or so many people come to me and said, well, why didn't you just cut the QCOMP program? Well, on the one hand, we're working with the governor and the department and the House to try to get money through the Race to the Top, and that's built on the QCOMP proposal, which if we cut that, we end up kind of shooting ourselves in the foot. There's different views as to what this is a proposal that I thought would allow us to maintain the stream of revenue into our classrooms, maintain the revenue for this program, even though it did. It's a one-time reduction that would have to be picked up by levy, but that it would maintain the funding for most of the programs. And then in the next bill that you'll see, the reduction to the grant programs that we have was roughly, I think it's 5.5%. So it's kind of within a livable margin for those programs. So we were trying to be fair, I guess, in a maybe in the way we were looking at it, or I was looking at it, realizing that that the first-class cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Duluth, would have to raise some property taxes.
We have Senators Bonhoeff, Anderson, and Saltzman, and if there's anyone else in the audience that would like to testify, if you could let us know with a note or something just as we pace the meeting. Senator Bonhoeff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to remind members that we did begin this session thinking we're going to have to go to our school districts with very significant cuts. And so I would acknowledge the people around this table, the people in this room, and Senator Stump for his leadership in advocating for holding our schools as, you know, virtually harmless in this very tough environment. And I think that was the right decision. And I am grateful that we're able to be here. And I want to remind members that last year when we got the ERA funding and there was this significant amount of funding that went to particularly Minneapolis-St. Paul and Duluth, we in our bill, we used this very same mechanism last year when we had to do some final coming up with certain, you know, budget reductions. And so we did use this mechanism, and in fact, and we all voted for it. And in fact, St. Paul, we said it wasn't just a one-year hit, it was a three-year. We did it, we doubled their hit on turning it in from aid into levy. And so this actually is only a one-time, one-year. And so I think the mechanism came forward because we had come up with it last time. And so, and we really didn't have much quarrel with it in our last session. So I just wanted to remind members of that.
Senator Anderson.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess, you know, I just can't remember an education bill that would do this, that would just put this level of a hit on only three communities in our state. That's not how we build, you know, you can always build a majority by finding, you know, a minority to pick on. And I say that with all due respect. I know, Senator Stumpf, you don't have any good choices, and I appreciate you're trying to do something that has the least negative impact. But I just think that's not how we usually put our education bills together. And Senator Torres Ray talked about the tax chair and the tax committee. I would, it sounds like from the history of this law that it was put together as a way to mitigate disproportionate impacts on our property taxpayers. And if we can get the tax chair to find a way to compensate for that, maybe we could make this work. But I would like to have a commitment on that. I don't think we should pass a bill in this form from the Education Committee because it really doesn't reflect how we normally try to do our very best to balance impacts around the state. And I would like to have that commitment before this bill would leave the Education Committee if we're going to be able to get the Tax Committee to mitigate this property tax impact on three cities. I'd like to know that in advance.
Senator Stumpf is noting the advice, and when we're ready to vote, you'll have a chance to summarize. Senator Saltzman.
Just another comment, Mr. Chair. I think that, you know, I want to thank Senator Stump for his work to avoid cuts to the classroom, because when I think about other committees that are in this room at different times and in other rooms of this Capitol, they have had to cut hundreds of millions of dollars that have impacted people's lives. And for us to have a target of this amount seems very insignificant when we think about the other, you know, committees that are having to make cuts. So I think that at a time when we have tried to avoid cuts to the classroom, and there's always difficult decisions to make, but we have also sat around this table, and when funds have gone out to different districts, we have acknowledged the needs of the children in different districts in this state. And that hasn't always been an equitable distribution in terms of every district getting the same amount, but I have always voted to make sure that the kits and the classrooms, that their needs are being met. This is meaning that we're going to have to make some other difficult choices regarding facilities or efforts, and I do appreciate that perhaps the tax committee can work on this, but I really support the fact that because once we start, as Senator Hand noted, you know, maybe it's just a $13 cut to the formula. Once it's a $13 cut, then is it a $14 cut? And if it's 14, then it's 20, or what's 30? That seems really insignificant as a dollar amount. But when you add that up, that's impacting children. This, I would say, is we're looking at some other things that as we make our priorities in this committee, we're trying to keep the cuts away from the classroom if at all possible. So thank you, Senator Stump.
Senator Torres-Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Saltzman, do you think that reducing $14 million is not going to impact children? If it doesn't impact children, what would it? If this is this. We're talking about schools. What else is it supposed to impact?
Senator Saltzman, I'll let you speak to that then.
Well, so I think Senator Torres-Ray is that we are talking about tax levies here, and I understand there's been some, you know, communication at this table. Is there a way, if this was put into place, to address a tax equity issue? Is there a way for the tax committee, which has far more tools than we have, to look at this issue? And I think that that has been brought to Senator Stump's attention to look at that. If we're going to start to look into taxpayer equity, I think that's a whole other discussion that involves many other issues. When we talk about debt service and bonding, we can look at the fact that debt service equalization, which Senator Koch and Senator Phoebe and myself, we look at as property, and that's another different issue. But it has to do with, you know, bonding and also facilities. We've not kept up, and some of our, you know, communities are paying far more to raise dollars to access facilities. So, I mean, that's another discussion. But I trust that in this committee, if we can focus on children, but these cuts that are here in this particular bill talk about facilities, talk about, you know, some taxpayer levies, and I would like to support and, like, you know, send a message to Senator Stump. There are other tools to perhaps address some of the equity issues that you're talking about. So these are cuts to levy targets. It's my understanding.
Members, I believe we're ready to vote. Ms. Gilbert, a brief comment.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, one possible solution to this, it's not perfect. It would, I've just talked to Dr. Melcher about it. Every year, in the state appropriations for the K-12 committee, if the pupil counts go down or if all the districts that they've assumed go into Q-comp don't actually go into Q-comp, the money actually cancels back to the general fund. And then the K-12 base total appropriation is reduced. So we always work off a lower base. I think it could be possible, and it might be kind of tricky, and I think we would still have to levy for it, that rather than having the money cancel back to the general fund and reduce the K-12 base, that there could maybe be an aid correction that would cover this when all the aids and levies are done. And I think in the QComp area, it's been, you know, $8, $9 million. So I think it would be a possibility that you could proceed with this and then work on some other remedy that would allow kind of a settle-up payment for schools, and then it would keep the K-12 base higher as well, because sometimes, like I said, we actually end up with less money as a result of some of the adjustments that they make in aid. So I think it would be worth at least exploring with the department to see if something like that could be done. It certainly wouldn't be any guarantee, but if there was the case that all the money that was appropriated wasn't spent for some of the big categoricals for some reason or another, it could go toward this, recovering some of this aid, and then there could be, you know, a levy settle-up payment the following year. So
Mr.
just
Chairman,
to throw it out.
Mr. Nauman.
Mr. Chairman, I think we'll need to chat with the department about this.
Right.
My original, based on what Ms. Gilbert just testified to, I think that we're repurposing dollars in that example, and we'd have to carry a cost for it. I think, but we can chat with finance about it.
Mr. Chairman, just worth exploring. I'm trying to figure out an option that might move us forward.
With helpful advice and guidance in mind, Senator Stump moves that Senate File 3063 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to finance. Thereafter, it would go to taxes. Further discussion. Senator Stump.
Mr. Chairman, and I know Senator Anderson has concerns as well as several others. I will, you know, I can't, in this, you can't make guarantees, but I definitely will work with, this will have to go to the tax committee, first to the finance committee and then the tax committee. So I will work with the tax committee as well as the department and try to figure out ways to, if there are some ways to mitigate that.
Sarah Stumpf renews his motion. All in favor indicate aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
No.
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Stump. Senate File 3028, and we have a delete all A4 being distributed. Senator Stump.
Mr. Chairman and members, I would move the A4 amendment to 3028.
Senator Stump moves the A4 author's amendment. All in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Okay. Senator Stump.
Mr. Chairman and members, this is really kind of a reduction bill. It takes in, and if you look at your spreadsheet, you will notice that starting on line 6 of the spreadsheet, you'll see a list of grant programs. And then on line 19, you will see the reductions to the department and the Purpich Center, which are both proposals that were in the governor's budget to the legislature, supplemental budget. And then on the line 20 or line 30 and 31, there, no, I'll take that back. Line 30 and 31, I believe, are the special revenue funds, which have modest reductions. What we did, the approach on this was to look at a reduction of approximately 1.33 million, a little over that, I guess it'd be about about $3 million, and then backed into the percent reduction. So that reduction over these programs comes to about a 5.5% reduction, and it touches on those programs between line 6 and line, basically three different categories, line 19 and line 30. In the amendment, as you can see, the dollar amounts have been reduced, I think that probably explains the bulk of the amendment.
Thank you, Senator Stump. Any questions, Senator Hamm?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman and Senator Stump. And I guess I have a little bit more of a general question. The bill that is being deleted is the 3028, which is the, by the title, I'm guessing, is the omnibus appropriation bill. So my first question is this now the education bill? Are we going to see another bill? And the reason I'm asking that is that there are some things that I'm concerned about that are not addressed in this. For example, we have, as a result of the governor's action last spring, a lag in payments, the so-called shift. There was some desire, at least on my part, and I think some others, to make sure that we codified that shift in our bill. I don't see that as a part of this, and so I'm just wondering if this is the bill and we're not going to do anything further, how do we address that? That's one question. Could you respond to that and tell us whether or not there is going to be a larger education bill?
Sir, so.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Hand, the I'd say the biggest part of the bill that if we'd have a normal finance bill would be the policy part, which will come up on Tuesday. But I think the concern that and I'll have to say leadership on both the House and the Senate have, and the finance and tax chairs, is that the budget hinges around the what may happen with the FMAP money, the $408 million, and what happens to the budget if we do not if that does not come through. And I think there's In people in many different positions that have an array of different opinions as to what will happen or won't happen. And I think both, I think all three bodies, the House, the Senate, and the governor, have used that $408 million to balance the state's budget. So I think the concern and the rationale is that you know, we may have to use that as a fallback position at some point. If not, fine. But if something goes wrong, then you know that money doesn't come through. Then we're going to be on the hook for about $408 million.
Senator Hand, follow up by Senator Olson.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Senator Stumpf, I take the point that what we're doing is we're assuming that the federal government is going to come in with some $400 million that we'll devote to education in some way that will be devote to the resolution of the deficit. But I'm still not clear on what happens to the shift that the governor has put in place and the concern about not addressing that legislatively before the end of the session. Are we not going to do that, or are we going to do it in the policy bill? Or I think that is an issue that we should not leave here without addressing in legislation, and I just am not clear on what the plan is to do that.
Sir,
well, Mr. Chairman and Senator Hand, we do not address that in these pieces of legislation. Some of this has occurred relatively rapidly in the last few days with getting our target and with trying to put together there's a whole host of things that kind of push things back, not knowing exactly what was going to happen on the federal money. I guess I can understand the fact that decisions are being made outside of my realm too. You know, so I would be hoping that at least the direction from leadership is to have this get out and passed so that we can get into a conference committee and end up finishing before the end of the session. And on the side, which is the policy side of it, we have a fair chunk of that provision is in the race to the top. So that is taking quite a bit of energy on the part of a number of different people as well. So I don't have a good direct answer to what you're requesting.
Senator Olson, who has a bill up right now in finance.
So, Mr. Chair, to that point, in terms of the shift and codifying it, that technically, the impact of that is technically not felt until the end of this next fiscal year. But the issue is whether if we don't codify it now, we drive what the forecast will tell us. And so we're handing a $1.3 billion, or whatever that number is, additional problem to the next governor, who we don't know who it will be. And if we were to put that in place, we at least not only increase the comfort level of all the districts of knowing where that will go, where their planning will be going, rather than hanging in limbo with and adding to the huge, immense a deficit, because it means we got to pay it all back in 1 year rather than doing it the way the current statute is. It doesn't necessarily have to get solved here, but I think that really we should keep that issue on the table as to the wisdom of delaying it past the next election and having the forecast tell us that we're in much greater difficulty than we would need to be, because the school districts have adjusted to this and are comfortable with the payback coming the way we have in current statute. So I hope that, I'm sure you'll be weighing in on that as as will I and others, as we go through and try to wrap up everything, as to whether we can resolve that now or whether, and I presume some of that is going to depend on whether that what the Supreme Court says about governor's unallotment. So, you know, rather than maybe there's a desire to wait till that is determined and then deciding how we deal with the whole thing. Right. So it does need to be addressed, but I think that you've I need to go for another bill that I hope you'll come and join and support.
Well, thank you, Senator Olson. And as noted, there's many variables that we still need to account for. Senator Koch, and I believe we're ready
Mr.
to
Chair,
vote.
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson said it better than I could have. So.
Members, Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for Mr. Nauman, just for comparison purposes then, Mr. Nauman, could you tell me out of that 14.2,
mm-hmm.
out of that bogey, 11 of it being the alternative facilities grant, which we just dealt with in the last bill, how much, well, let me ask you this way. Did the governor's K-12 budget include any changes, reductions or cuts in any of the areas that we're looking at today?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Michelle, the lines 19, 20, and 21 reflect the governor's recommendation for the agencies. The numbers look a little different in how we're carrying them in the bill, not on the spreadsheet, but in the bill, because the under the practice of how the finance committees are structuring their bills this year, we're not reflecting the unallotments.
Okay, Mr. Nam, so that was a million and change, 19, 20, and 21. And then let me ask you again specifically, did the governor's budget make any reductions as we are doing in the alternative facilities aid?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Michelle, no, he did not. And just to take it to the logical conclusion, lines 3 through 15 are not reflected in the governor's recommendation. Lines 19 through 21 is the governor's recommendation. Lines 30 and 31 is the governor's recommendation. Those are carry-forward dollars from both MDE and Perpich that are transferred from the special revenue fund into the general fund. The governor recommended that, and that's accepted under this amendment.
Further questions, committee members? Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address Senate File 3028 as amended? Not Senator Stumpf. Is there someone approaching? Yes, yes. Please identify yourself for the record.
Members, my name is Josh Downham with Serve Minnesota. Serve Minnesota is the state's commission on national and community service. We oversee the state's AmeriCorps programs. And the YouthWorks reduction in this bill of $49,000 actually has a ripple effect because of the federal matching. So the $49,000 actually translates into a total cut of $220,000 for AmeriCorps programs across the state. I know you guys are struggling with big number deficits and you're going to have to make reductions, but just want to let you know that $49,000 does have impacts on programs like Habitat for Humanity, Admission Possible, the Minnesota Conservation Corps, and Minnesota Reading Corps.
Thank you very much, Mr. Duncan, for pointing out the impact. And I'm sure I'll hear at home, one of my daughters was in AmeriCorps last year in St. Paul schools working with after-school at-risk students, and all of these programs do a world of good. So that advice will be taken as we move ahead. Anyone else that would like to testify? Not Senator Stumpf. Moves that Senate File 3028 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to finance. All in favor, indicate aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Hello. Motion prevails. And Senator Stumpf, earlier you had mentioned that on Tuesday we're going to hear the policy bill. There will be an article addressing Race to the Top. Would you like to highlight between now and then some of the overall activities that are happening for the many of us that are involved here as well as viewers?
Well, there's been a kind of a flurry of activities the last couple of weeks, and I'd say there's a lot of energy, a lot of time, a lot of thought being put into, in particular, the race to the top. That is new money if we would be able, fortunate enough, to get the application approved. There's not a lot of other things in the policy bill. There's a, the department has a number of things in it, but I think the feeling on the part of the administration and both the House and the Senate was that we need to move forward. I think the governor has highlighted the need for Minnesota to address the changes that need to be made in education, and I think he's given us opportunities to look at how we might change, and we're just hoping that we can come together. And I realize that the commissioner has an enormous job ahead of her because the application needs to be submitted to the Secretary of Education by June 1st, completed and submitted. And so I would not want to be in her shoes, but she's been, and her department's been working very hard, and I think I look forward to seeing what all of the different staff people from all different agencies and the legislature are going to be coming up with, because I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I haven't seen it assembled yet. And I'll get it into your hands as quickly as I can so that you can take a look at it, too.
So we're in a race to the finish.
Race to the finish, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Stumpf. Members, this meeting's adjourned.
Okay. I don't know any. Yeah. We just had it.